This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
From AMI Central.
Now circling in the neutral zone.
Here's the pitch on the way. 36 yards for the win.
This.
Here comes a big chance. The shot.
Is this the dagger? The neutral zone.
This is as good as it gets.
Now, here's your host, two-time Paralympian, Brock Richardson.
What's going on, friends? It's time for another edition of The Neutral Zone. I am indeed your host, Brock Richardson, and man, this is like the pinnacle of the Parasport calendar as we're T-minus 4 days away from the Paralympic Games, and we're going to spend 3 weeks in discussing the Paralympics at various levels. And joining me this week is Cam Jenkins. Cameron, how are you?
Brock, it's looking so forward to the Paralympics. They're going to be here in 5 days, and that's what this show's all about. So I'm ready and pumped to go.
And also joining us is Josh Watson. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. It is Friday. I've got the day off to do the job I enjoy, and we get to talk Paralympics. It's going to be a great day.
Yes. Scott Russell will be joining us for about 30 minutes time coming up very soon. But coming up right now, let's jump in to the headlines.
The Western Hockey League has finally joined the Ontario Hockey League in the Quebec Major Junior League. As far as being able to have a mandatory vaccine policy for all their players.
Basketball Canada has extended head coach Nick Nurse, which will see him remain part of the team through 2024 in Paris. This is a great move. We were so close. We almost qualified. And I believe that Nick Nurse will be the man to push everyone forward and also convince some of those NBA players to remain through the next cycle.
The highly anticipated and long-awaited Women's World Hockey Championship begins today in Calgary. Canada kicks off its tournament against Finland at 6 p.m. for the preliminary round. Canada also takes on the Russian Olympic Committee, Switzerland, and the USA. All of Canada's preliminary games will take place at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the TSN network. I, for one, am looking forward to this tournament. It is going to be a great day and a great tournament to watch.
The Cincinnati Reds' Joey Votto becomes the second Canadian in Major League Baseball history with 2,000 career hits, joining Hall of Famer Larry Walker. It's great to see some Canadian content, and Joey Votto, he's going to be a Cincinnati Red for life, and I'm sure a surefire Hall of Famer, and I look forward to when he's done his career and gets into the Hall of Fame.
Those are your headlines, as we do every week. Let's check in on our Twitter poll, and guys, this one makes me really happy. It says, do you think the Olympics for Canada was a success? And unanimously, we had a yes. So fantastic to see that everyone around the country feels the same way. Your Twitter poll question for this week is, how do you think the Paralympic team will do for Canada? More than 24 medals, less than 24 medals, or the exact same? Cast your votes at our Twitter handles, which we will give a bit later on in the show. Coming up next, as I mentioned off the top, we're going to speak with Scott Russell, who's going to give us the lowdown on the Paralympic Games, which begin this coming Tuesday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Neutral Zone AMI broadcast booth.
Play ball!
And we are set to get this ball game underway. The first pitch brought to you by Brock Richardson's Twitter account at Neutral Zone BR. First pitch, strike. And hey, gang, why not strike up a Twitter chat with Claire Buchanan from the Neutral Zone? Find her at Neutral Zone CB. And there's a swing and a chopper out to second base right at Claire. She picks up the ball, throws it over to first base for a routine out. And fans, there is nothing routine about connecting with Cam and Josh from the Neutral Zone. At Neutral Zone, Cam J and at J Watson 200. Now that's a winning combination. And this Oregon interlude is brought to you by AMI Audio on Twitter. Get in touch with the Neutral Zone. Type in at AMI Audio.
I'm going to give a little love to friend of the show, Derek Wellsman, who puts together some of those wonderful tags you hear before segments 2 and 3. We love them, and we were just chatting behind the scenes about how we love them. So thank you, Derek, and all credit to you for putting those together. Speaking of credit that we should give, and a guy who I'm sure needed to get a bit of sleep with his busy schedule of doing prime time at the Olympic Games, and now he's going to be switching gears to the Paralympic Games, and I'm talking about Scott Russell. Today he's going to be joining us for a couple of segments to really give us a deep dive into the Paralympic Games. Scott, 4 days before the Paralympic Games, I couldn't think of a better guy to talk to right ahead of the Paralympics, to be honest. Welcome back to the show.
Hey guys, great to be here, and really looking forward to the Paralympics. All the athletes are on their way to Tokyo if they haven't already arrived, and we spoke to Stephanie Dixon, who's the chef de mission, yesterday, and she's very excited about what's going to happen at the Paralympic Games in Tokyo. So I think we're in for a really great show.
So, Scott, before we kind of get into the Paralympics, let's wrap up the Olympic team because they managed to obtain 24 medals over the 16 days. And I think I know your answer to this, but do you think that was a success?
Well, I think it was an unequivocal success. You know, 24 medals at an Olympic Games, the summer edition of the Games, that's a Canadian record at a non-boycotted Games. You know, with the exception of Los Angeles in 1984, it's a high water mark for Canada. And I think what was really exceptional was the fact that three quarters of those medals were won by Canadian women. And I think that's really a sign of the times for the Canadian Olympic team. And also the medals were won over 10 different sports. So it wasn't all swimming. It wasn't all track and field. But it was across so many sports. You know, that gold medal in women's football was absolutely exceptional. So I think you, by any measure, it was a tremendous success given all that had occurred before the Olympic Games. And Canada should hold its head up pretty high for that.
I know for me, the women's football was certainly a favorite storyline. But I'm curious what storyline was your favorite to cover out of all the ones we saw?
Well, you know, I really thought that the performance by Damian Warner in winning the gold medal in the decathlon was exceptional. He became the fourth man in history to go over 9,000 points. And as you know, that's a magic barrier in the decathlon. The decathlete who wins the gold medal at the Olympic Games has the unofficial title as the world's greatest athlete. This is an athlete that can run, jump, throw. He's an absolute wonder when it comes to sprinting, but he's got tremendous strength and power as well. And the story I love about Damian Warner is that he chose to remain in Canada to train. He's coached by two guys that coached him in high school, Gar Lechon and Dennis Nielsen, and he's remained loyal to those coaches. He's all Canadian, and he's a tremendous role model for so many young athletes around the country. I was really pleased to see Damian do so well in the decathlon and claim that gold medal, the first Canadian to ever win the Olympic title in the decathlon.
So now let's move over to the Paralympics, and I guess we're going to do a little rapid fire here and try to get as many sports as possible into the segments. What do you think about the goalball team, and who are some of the teams and athletes we should be keeping an eye on as it pertains to goalball?
Well, goalball, you know, is a potential medal for Canada. at the games. They were bronze at the 2019 Parapan Am Games in Lima, Peru, and they were fourth at the last World Championships in 2018, ranked number five in the world. So I think you have to give the Canadians a chance to win a medal here. Key player for Canada, Amy Burke from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, who may be making her fourth trip to the Paralympic Games. So I think that gives the team some experience and stability. Whitney Bogart of Marathon Ontario, her third Paralympic appearance. But, you know, they're in tough in goalball because the Turks are back. They're the Paralympic champions, and they have perhaps the best player in the world. That's Sevda Altınoluk. She scored, you know, all those goals at the Rio 2016 Paralympics and the World Championships. I think it was 82 goals combined. So Canada will be in tough for a medal, but I certainly think that they contend for a medal. They're in a tough pool with the Russian Paralympic Committee, Israel, China, and Australia. But I think the Canadians do have a chance at a medal.
Recently, we had a chance to talk to Marco Despoltro from the bocce team. What do you think we should look at for bocce?
Well, I mean, it's a four-member team. I'm glad that Marco's there. You know, he's done so much for the sport and promoting the sport in Canada. And I remember at the Parapan Am Games in Toronto, he was the flag bearer. Yulian Chibanu is back. And I think a key member of that bocce team is Allison Levine, who is ranked world number one in BC4. And she's the first woman in history to be ranked number one in the world in that category or classification. So when you put those three together and you add in Danick Allard of Laval, who's going to be making his debut at the Paralympic Games, I think that team's pretty strong. And I'm really interested to see what Allison can do. She's a pretty driven athlete.
And we're getting quite the heat wave here in Toronto. So to try to cool down, I want to talk to you about the pool and who do you think is going to be a good competition there?
I think this is where a number of Canadian medals will come from, is in the swimming pool. And you know, we've always had in Canada a strong para swimming program. And I think that's a credit to Swimming Canada and the National Sport Organization for putting emphasis on para swimming. And, you know, you think of names of the past like Benoit Huot and Stephanie Dixon, who is the chef de mission for Team Canada at these Paralympic Games. They've won all those medals in history. And then you take a look at the current lineup and the next generation of great swimmers on that para team. Let's start with Aurélie Rivard of Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, three gold medals and one silver at the 2016 Paralympics. This is her third Paralympic Games. I think she only gets better over time. She's held world records at various times. She's a freestyler and a medley swimmer. I like the story of Katarina Roxon from Kippens, Newfoundland. She's big news in Newfoundland and Labrador, won a gold medal in 2016 in the backstroke, and she's back stronger than ever, tremendously confident athlete. And I also really like the potential that exists with 24-year-old Nicolas Guy Turbide of Quebec City, who won a bronze medal in Rio. He won all those medals at the Parapan Am Games in Toronto in 2015. And he's been in the hunt at the World Championships. And, it goes on down the line. There are so many chances for Canada in the swimming pool at the Games.
I personally have been lucky enough to be a teammate of Rene Fossel over at Cruiser Sports for quite a while, so I'm going to be eyes glued to her. But I'm wondering what you think of the track and field team this year, the Athletics.
Athletics, it's tremendously exciting. And, I want to point out two athletes that I think everybody will have their eyes on. One is, arguably maybe one of the greatest male wheelchair racers in the world, and that's Brent Lakatos. You know, he's 41 years old. He's going to be going to his fifth Paralympics. He's won seven Paralympic medals. And what I love about Brent is he wins at every distance and has the capability to win at every distance, including the marathon now. I mean, in 2020, he won the London Marathon in the wheelchair division. And he won that Paralympic gold medal in Rio at 100 meters. And Brent will contest every distance in between and including the marathon. So he's someone who's going to be a superstar, I believe, at these games. And the other one that I want to look forward to is somebody who's making his Paralympic debut, and that's Nate Riche from BC, the world record holder at 1,500 meters in the T38 classification. I mean, and that world record is an astounding 3:47.89, and he also holds a world record at 800 meters. So I would look for Nate Riche, the Grey Wolf, to really do something in athletics. And there are plenty more chances in athletics as well.
And moving over to wheelchair basketball, we've heard a lot about Patrick Anderson with the men's team and how he's arguably the best wheelchair basketball player in the world, and some compare him to Michael Jordan. Can you maybe talk about both the men's and women's wheelchair basketball teams?
Well, let's start with the men, since you brought up Patrick Anderson. And, you know, he returns to the Paralympics, you know, because he missed Rio in 2016, and he was focusing on other parts of his life. He has a musical career with his wife, Anna, and, you know, he's really been successful there. Patrick is 41 years old now, but his skills are undiminished. I mean, you watch the guy play, and he has the ability to dominate any game that he's in. So he will certainly make the men's team a team that can get back into the mix. I don't know if they can win a medal just because Patrick is back, but they certainly will be much more competitive. You know, they were 11th at the last Paralympics. They were 12th at the most recent World Championships. So they've got a lot of work to do. But with somebody like Patrick, and then you throw in Nick Gonchin, who's had a Paralympic experience, a tremendously talented player. Who knows? The Canadians might contend. I'm excited about the women on the wheelchair basketball side. They won a gold medal at the Parapan Ams in Lima, and they defeated the United States. And the Americans are a force in wheelchair basketball, as you know. So when 10 players on the Canadian team are back from that Parapan Am gold medal, that bodes well for the team. When you think about people like Aaron Young and Cindy Ouellette, they have a team that can score, that can play great defense. And I think there's a hunger there, because although Cindy Ouellette, someone like Cindy, has been a world champion, as she was in 2014, you know, going to her third Summer Paralympics, she's never won a medal. And I think that hunger is there for her. So, yeah, I like the chances of that Canadian women's team.
The last one for this segment for me is wheelchair rugby with Travis Morrow and the boys.
Yeah, wheelchair rugby is, you know, murder ball. Everybody calls it that. it's a great sport, and it'll be a highlight of the games. Canada, you know, didn't have the kind of tournament they wanted in Rio in 2016, 5 years ago. They were sixth. They were out of the medals after that brilliant silver medal performance in London in 2012. What I do really like about the team is they have one of the best players in the world back in the fold, and that's Zach Liddell, the Albertan. You know, he took some time away after they played at the World Championships, and he's been 3 years away from the team. Now he gets back into the fold and makes the team so much better. Well, they're going to knock heads with a certain guy from the United States, that's Chuck Aoki, who will be a force for the Americans. But I love the rivalry between those two teams. But Colby Caldwell's there, Trevor Hirschfield's there for the Canadians, and it's going to be fun to watch. And you can never count out the Paralympic champions from 2016, the Australians, and the Japanese, who are the world champions from 2018, will want to make an impact on home court in Tokyo. It's going to be a great tournament. Hard-hitting, guys, no question about that.
Indeed, it is definitely hard-hitting. And Scott, you're hitting us with lots of hard-hitting information. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of the break, and we're also going to kick around a few roundtable discussions. Stay tuned with Scott Russell and the rest of the Neutral Zone gang. Right after this, we'll be back.
A message for the Neutral Zone, call now 1-866-509-4545, and don't forget to give us permission to use your message on the air. Let's get ready to leave a voicemail.
As we roll on here with the Neutral Zone, I am your host, Brock Richardson, joined by Cam Jenkins and Josh Watson, and also joining us is Scott Russell. We'll get back to Scott in just a second, but this is week one of 3 weeks of Paralympic coverage here on the Neutral Zone. Scott, I thought we'd kick off this segment with five-a-side soccer. What are your thoughts over there?
Five-a-side soccer can be tremendously exciting, as you know. There are four out players who are visually impaired. The goalkeeper is a sighted player and can give direction to the team. It's a very interesting sport. You know, one of the sports that has been dropped from these Paralympic Games is seven-a-side football or soccer. There are two new sports, taekwondo and badminton. But five-a-side soccer is still there. It came onto the Paralympic program in 2004 in Athens, so it's still relatively new. And the dominant team, you guessed it, is Brazil. They've won every gold medal in the sport, and that's because they have one of the greatest players in the world. He's an absolute wonder, Jefinho. So he's somebody certainly to watch out for and who will garner a lot of attention at these games. But it's a really exciting sport, and the skill displayed by those athletes is absolutely extraordinary.
That's amazing, and I'm sure no one is surprised to hear that about Brazil. Sitting volleyball is another exciting sport that's going to be there. What are your thoughts about the sitting volleyball team this year?
Well, it's an encouraging story for Canada. Because the Canadian women are making their second appearance at the Paralympic Games in sitting volleyball and their second consecutive appearance. So that's good news. And they're consistently climbing the rankings in terms of world play. Right now they're ranked number 5 in the world. 11 members of the team are back from the Parapan Am Games in Lima, where they were bronze medalists. 8 are back from the 2016 Paralympics in Rio. So it means it's an experienced team, and they're led by their team captain, Danielle Alice. But they've got really great teams to contend with, including the Russian Paralympic Committee, the United States, and the Chinese. So it'll be tough competition. Unfortunately, the Canadian men did not qualify in sitting volleyball for these Paralympics. So women will have to fly the Canadian colors in Tokyo. But they do have a chance to get onto the podium.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will fly that flag very well. Moving over to wheelchair tennis, Rob Shaw was able to get into the competition. I mean, he's ranked 9th in the world. What should we expect from him?
I think it's really interesting because Rob is an extremely astute guy, and his world rankings are growing all the time. And he is making his debut at the Paralympics, but he won the gold medal in the quad category at the Parapan Am Games in Lima in 2019, and he was really riding a certain amount of momentum. Unfortunately, that's been interrupted a bit because they haven't had much international play over the course of the pandemic. But, you know, he became the first Canadian tennis player in singles play, standing or wheelchair tennis, to win a medal at a multi-sport competition, which he did at the Parapan Am Games in Lima. And he also, at that time, defeated the world's number one ranked player, David Wagner of the United States. So, you know, Rob has got to be riding a lot of confidence going into Tokyo as he makes his debut. Really interested to see how he does.
Now, certainly we haven't by any means covered all the sports that are going to be contested in these games. Is there a sport that we maybe have missed that we should keep our eyes on or should pay attention to?
Hey guys, we should be keeping our eye on every sport at the games. I mean, they're all going to be tremendously exciting. I really believe that. But, you know, a couple of things to bring up. And some of the athletes I've met, you know, I've really been excited to meet Andrea Nelson of Markham, Ontario, in paracanoe. She'll be in a kayak. And, you know, the great story about Andrea is that she attended a Paralympic search event in Toronto. And Ryan Blair, the kayak coach in Ontario, noticed her talent and her ability. She had a skydiving accident, and you know, but is a tremendous athlete and has made a comeback and a rehab from that accident, and consistently been very strong. So I think it'll be great to see how Andrea does at her first Paralympic Games in the kayak. That'll be something to watch. The other thing is paracycling, particularly on the velodrome. There are a couple of really great Canadian stories there. Tristan Chernov, who's won 3 Paralympic medals. He did that in Rio and became Paralympic champion in the time trial. But he's been 7 times the world champion, and he's just a force. So we'll keep an eye on Tristan Chernov. And then another good story is Kate O'Brien on the velodrome, who was an able-bodied cyclist, and before that, a bobsledder, and will be now in the Paralympics on the velodrome, and she is a powerful, powerful athlete, so we'll want to watch that.
Scott, I thought we would wrap up our time with you by kind of talking about a few different, you know, parts of parasports and Paralympics, but the first one is I want to get your feeling on our Twitter poll question, which we do every week. And this week it is, how do you think Canada will do in comparison to the Olympic Canadian team? Will they get more than 24 medals, less than 24 medals, the exact same? Your thoughts?
I think that, you know, I hate predicting medals, and it's really a tough one. Particularly because so many of the para athletes have had so little international competition over the course of the last 18 months. And it's hard to measure where everybody is with regard to podium. And the second thing that I would say about that is in talking to Stephanie Dixon, you know, she says the expectations of performance aren't so much around medals, but about personal bests. And that these games may, in fact, be about more than medals. That said, that said, I think there is every capability for the Canadian team to win 24 medals, to come close to the 29 medals that the team won in Rio in 2016. Five team sports have qualified for Canada at these Paralympic Games. They'll be very strong in the swimming pool. There's no doubt about that. And in athletics, I think there are a lot of medals there, as well as cycling. So I'll go out on a limb and I will say that I think they can equal that 24 that the Olympic team did a couple of weeks ago in Tokyo.
I think the thing that I like what you just said was what, you know, Stephanie Dixon had mentioned, that it's not so much about, you know, the end result, the medals. It's about the process. And I think, Scott, there's already enough pressure on these athletes, whether you look at it at an Olympic level or in this case, Paralympic level. And I think your leadership, when they speak the right words, it just takes that pressure off of you, Scott, right away.
I think so as well. And I think Stephanie is right. You know, she said a couple of days ago, she's excited to see every one of the 128 Canadian Paralympians on this team compete. There are, I believe, something like 55 Paralympic rookies. She was a Paralympic rookie as a 16-year-old in Sydney in 2000. And, you know, you remember how she performed there, won all those medals. But I think it's to go in with their eyes wide open, knowing that the great victory for these games is for the games to occur. They've been tremendously resilient athletes throughout their careers. They've worked extremely hard to get here. And, you know, as she says that everyone is already a superstar. And I think that's true. And you're right. It takes the pressure off them. But the joy is the ability to be able to compete.
Because the other thing, Scott, is you just simply don't know when you're going to be back there. And so when I did my first one in 2008, I mean, it was, for me, it was, wow, I'm, you know, 17, 16 years old. And I mean, I was eyes wide because I didn't know when I was going to be back. And, you know, and I finished 10th. And I mean, I came out of the gates and won my first two games and just missed the quarterfinal. But I remember the first thing that happened was my coaches came up and said, you need to continue to enjoy the experience. And I think Stephanie being the leadership of this and saying, enjoy the experience, it's about the process, is a really good thing. I want to talk a little bit with all of you about this next topic. Which of the sports has seen the biggest growth within the Summer Games, and which sport needs a little more attention or support? Scott, start with you, and then we'll go to Cameron and then Josh.
Well, you know, I was, when I saw that you were going to ask this question, Brock, it provoked a lot of thought for me, because, you know, the sport that gets so much attention at the games is wheelchair basketball. You talk about people like Patrick Anderson, who is, you know, a superstar and internationally known. Wheelchair basketball is a fixture at the Summer Paralympics, and it's a marquee sport at the games. One thing that I believe that where there's work to do, and it isn't, you know, specific to one sport, I think the Olympics has come a long way towards gender equality. You know, the same number of women compete at the Olympic Games as men compete now. The same is not yet true at the Paralympic Games. And I think of sports like five-a-side football. That's for men. I think about wheelchair rugby. It's specific to men at the Paralympics. And I think there's work to do in terms of gender equality at the Paralympic Games. And this is true at both the Summer Games and at the Winter Games. You know, there's para ice hockey for men, but not yet for women. And I think that those are growth areas that we could get to on the Paralympic program. You know, so much has grown over the last number of years. You know, think of it, back when the first official Paralympic Games were 1860 in Rome, there were, 238 competitors from 23 countries. Now we're talking about 4,400 competitors from 170 countries. But I think the number of women has to become more equal with the number of men who compete. That's where the growth area is for the Paralympic movement.
Yeah, and I certainly agree with Scott as far as the wheelchair basketball, because me growing up, that was kind of one of the first things that was offered to me as well as in the winter sport, the para ice hockey, or I used to call it sledge hockey. So those are the two big ones that I think keep seeing the continuous growth. And once again, Scott hit the nail on the head as far as for the women and wanting getting more gender equality. Wheelchair tennis, that's something that I would like to see personally have a bit more growth and, you know, have a lot more people involved with that sport. So those are my two cents worth.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting thing to see. I can remember being an athletics competitor. I always paid attention to athletics. And for me, if there is a frustration, it was certainly that in athletics, the track seems to be the sport that gets featured the most. And I can understand why. It's fast and it's very exciting. And when you get into the longer races, sometimes there are crashes and things like that. But being a thrower, being a shot put javelin and discus guy, I was always interested in those sports, and they don't always necessarily get noticed as much, but that's probably more of a coverage thing than an actual Paralympic thing. For me, I think the sport I'd like to see grow a little more is probably the probably the wheelchair rugby. It's fast, it's explosive, it's a sport that I won't ever see myself competing in, because I like all my fingers and toes and my head in one piece. But I'd like to see them get some more
attention and support.
Thank you. Because it is very exciting. And I think the average person could get behind it, because it's almost like football in a way.
Scott, we're running a little close on time, and I don't want to keep you forever because I know you're a busy guy. But how can Canada improve its funding at the Paralympic level? Because it's not where it should be in other countries. And what would you say as far as how we can improve that funding?
Well, it's always going to be a struggle. It's a struggle at the Olympic level as well, but it's more acute about the Paralympics. And what I think is really key to improving funding is visibility. And I know that we at TBC and through the consortium that will broadcast these Paralympic Games, that the aim is to increase visibility. And when people see Paralympic sport, they immediately become excited about it, the level of competition and the purity of the competition, if you want to put it that way. And I think also, the Paralympic Foundation of Canada is doing great work. There is an active fundraising campaign which will roll out over the course of these games, which is the 50-50 for the Paralympic Foundation of Canada, which will pump money back into para sport at the community level all across the country in every province and territory. I think those are good beginnings. One of the frustrations that I have, and there's, you know, there's nothing we can do about it around these Paralympic Games, is that much of the experience of spectators and the experience they have when they see parasport in the stadiums firsthand, they fall in love with it because of the competition. And unfortunately, there won't be spectators in Tokyo. But I think, you know, the increased visibility on television and across so many platforms will become key to how the sport grows. And it's going to be a constant struggle, but I think there's an upside.
I think it's been proven over time that when you put parasports on television or available to people, they do come and watch it. And I really do appreciate, you know, CBC doing as much coverage as they are, because this is the step in the right direction. And I do understand there's room for growth, but we have to start somewhere. Scott, thank you so much for a half an hour of your time. It was wonderful. All your information was great. And thank you for your continued support of our program. And we hope to have you on again soon. And good luck with the broadcast.
Brock, Cam, and Josh, thanks so much for having me, and enjoy the games. They'll be terrific.
We will indeed, and the games begin on Tuesday with the opening ceremony. Coming up next, we're going to speak to Greg David, who is our communications specialist over here at AMI. He's going to be giving us a look at what we can expect on our networks for coverage. Stay tuned for that. Right after the break, we'll be back. Welcome back to the Neutral Zone right here on AMI Audio. I'm your host, Brock Richardson, joined by Josh Watson and Cam Jenkins. Joining us now is Greg David, who is our communication specialist over here at AMI Audio. Greg, welcome to our program. I think this is the first time you've been on our program. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
It is. Thanks for having me on, Brock, and thanks for getting my title right.
Yes, I had to like stop and make sure that I had it right, but I think I got it out after all.
You did.
Greg, let's talk about your role at AMI as the communication specialist. What does that mean for our audience over here who may not know?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. I mean, I work, as you know, here at AMI, we make a lot of television shows, we make great audio shows, and we also make podcasts. And part of my job is to spread the word to the people, out in the world about what we do, but also pitching media and saying, hey, can you give us some coverage about this show that's coming up? And, you know, can we have you on a radio interview or a television interview? I am also responsible for doing a lot of the social media outreach as well. So if you're seeing posts on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, that's me as well. So those are probably the biggest jobs that I have as the communication specialist at AMI.
And just full disclosure, he comes on Kelly and Company and talks everything TV as well. He's a big reality TV guy. For those of you that have not heard that, it's quite the segment. I quite enjoy it.
Thanks.
I'm also a reality TV guy, so like every time I get to sit in that chair over there and we talk about it, I'm all over it. But let's talk about the Paralympic Games and the coverage. Let's start with the AMI TV. What can we expect as far as coverage over there?
Yeah, we're really excited about this, Brock. We've partnered with CBC to bring everybody the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games, and it's been really exciting to be on social media and see all of the Paralympic athletes that you and I and you on the show there and the other AMI programs have all interacted with. So now I really have somebody to cheer for, and I can put faces to these names. But we're really excited about the coverage that we're going to be broadcasting over the next, I guess it's a week and a half. It's all going to kick off on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, August the 24th. We're going to be broadcasting the Olympic ceremonies live from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern on AMI TV and AMI audio. And if you click on the live audio stream on our website, you're going to be getting the Olympic coverage there as well. It's all going to be helmed, of course, by Scott Russell. He's going to be doing the heavy lifting over the broadcast days. And in addition to the opening ceremony, we're also going to be weekdays throughout the Paralympics. We'll have a daytime program of a couple of hours between 3 and 5. And then during prime time between 7 and 8, we'll be doing highlights for the day. Those will be all week long. And then on the weekends, we'll be doing daytime and prime time. And then it all finishes off on Sunday, September the 5th, with the closing ceremony, which we're also going to broadcast live from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. And if you miss it or you want to catch up later on, we'll be showing it again between 3 and 5 p.m. And again, that's on AMI TV, AMI Audio, and on our live stream. We're really excited about the coverage. Over 45 hours of coverage on AMI alone.
And is there anything more specific on AMI Audio that you haven't covered that you can do for the Paralympic Games?
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, we had to do some juggling with some of the programming. Now with Dave Brown is going to continue on with the live program during this time. Kelly and Company is going to be on in its regular time slot as well. I think one of the big things that I wanted to mention, Brock, is that this is going to be in live described video. And that means that as the action is going on, there's going to be that extra voice describing what's going on. I don't know about you, but I noticed that, not having that description there, it doesn't allow you to be able to paint that mental picture in your head. So having that live described voice there during the Paralympic Games is really important.
And it really gives you the opportunity to have the feel of what's going on when it's happening in the moment. Greg, just quickly, anything else we should know before we wrap up here?
No, well, you know what? Yeah, if you want more Paralympic Games content, we've got a bunch of shows that you can check out on AMI TV. If you go to AMI.ca, you can stream these following AMI TV programs. There's Beyond the Field, which in which Paralympians Greg Westlake and Travis Morrow talk to, they have discussions with para athletes, experts, and coaches about what it's like to be a competitor. There's Level Playing Field. You can stream on the website as well, and that's with Paralympian Greg Westlake, and he talks to athletes and community groups and healthcare professionals about sport and positive social change through sport. We've also got the documentary Evening the Odds, which is about gender equality in sport. You can find that on the website. And finally, Paralympics Postponed, The Long Road to Tokyo. This was made last year when we found out that the Paralympics were going to be delayed by a year. And Alex Smythe checked in with Canadian Paralympic athletes, trainers, and the Canadian Paralympic Committee last year as they dealt with the fact that the Paralympic Games were going to be bumped because of the pandemic. So, yeah, check out those Paralympic-themed programs on AMI.ca.
Great stuff, Greg. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us to discuss what is going to be going on.
Thanks so much, Brock. Have a great weekend.
You as well. That was Greg David, who is our marketing communications specialist over here at AMI. Guys, we have about 4 minutes or so. I just want to get your thoughts on our first show covering the Paralympic Games. Josh, start with you.
Wow, what a show. I mean, anytime we can sit and talk Olympics and Paralympics with Scott Russell, you know it's going to be a good day. The man is practically an encyclopedia on the Paralympic Games. He brought things to light to me that I would not have known about had he not brought them up. So just amazing, amazing stuff to hear all of those stories to watch and all those different sports and the stories within the sports. So I loved it. I'm so pumped for the next 2 weeks.
That was an absolute great show. And we have Scott Russell to thank because of that. My head's still spinning. It seems like we've only been on the air for a few minutes. And yeah, I think this was a great pre-show for the Paralympics to start. And hopefully everyone that's listening or will be listening to it later on through podcast is going to, understand the wealth that Scott Russell has The Canadian Paralympians, they're going to get to know them a little bit better ahead of the games. And it's, yeah, my head's spinning from today's show. It's been so great.
Yeah, I just want to wrap up by saying to the audience, us getting Scott Russell was literally a tweet a year ago. And I told him what we do over here, and I said we'd love to have you on the program. And he's come on in full capacity, given us so much time over the time frame. And we really, really appreciate him. And I'm getting feedback right now from listeners saying it was a great show. And so, you know, credit to our team and everyone that helped put this together. And you will have 2 more weeks of this coverage. That being said, though, I am off next week. You will have Josh Watson, Claire Buchanan, and Cam Jenkins, who will get you started in your Paralympic coverage when the games are on. That is the end of this week's show. I'd like to thank Josh Watson, Cam Jenkins. I'd also like to thank our technical producer, Matt Agnew. Our technical supervisor is Paula Deneen, and our manager of AMI Audio is Andy Frank. And of course, I am your host and producer of this program, Brock Richardson. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I will talk to you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the beginning of the Paralympic Games, and we'll talk to you soon.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.